Let's open in prayer. Lord, we come to you tonight. We desire to know how to disciple better. We want to be effective in our ministry. Help us to understand how we can come along other people and encourage them, motivate them to learn, to grow. Help us to learn and grow alongside of them. As we discuss homework tonight, we pray that you would help us to understand its role in our life, how you grow us and change us by creating circumstances in our life that we have to address or respond to. So it's in your name that we pray. Amen. So homework's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Homework is one of those unpleasant subjects, isn't it? I mean, when I asked you if you had your homework done, you probably got that sick feeling in your gut. And, you know, even last night, I spent a restless night sleeping because I had a flashback dream to my college days, and it was all centered around just the stress and everything of learning and doing homework. And that's 30 years ago, you know, and I'm still have that anxious feeling about it. So why do we ask counselees to do homework? What's the biblical precedent? And if you look at some examples in Scripture, you see that God just didn't instruct, but he actually gave assignments to people or commandments to people, exercises, you might say. If you think about Cain, he was told that that sin was crouching at his door and that if he wasn't careful, it would master him, but he was told that you must master it. So he was told that something, he needed to do something. If you think of the rich young ruler, what did Jesus tell the rich young ruler to do? The rich young ruler came to him asking questions, wanting to know what he could do. He was quite eager and motivated, but Jesus gave him an assignment that made him kind of question his motivation and really cut right to the heart of the matter, didn't it? What did Jesus ask him to do? Yeah, so that was an assignment. You might say that was a homework that he knew by giving him this, he would have to answer a question in his head or his heart and respond to that assignment. And he did. Unfortunately, it was by not following through on that. We think of, we'll skip down there to the, Naaman. If you think about Naaman, Naaman was a commander, and he had leprosy, and he was seeking to be healed, and he was inquiring of Jesus, and Jesus told him to go to the Jordan River and bathe, and his leprosy would be healed. Well, there was a reason for that. That was an assignment, because, I mean, think about all the ways Jesus healed. He had lots of different ways in which he did it. Matter of fact, there were some times that he did it without being present. Just, matter of fact, he said one time, you know, your faith has made you well. But in this situation, he had Naaman do something that was very difficult for him to do, and that was to go down to the Jordan and bathe. And if you think of the Jordan River, we visited that just in February of last year, and it's kind of a muddy river. It looks kind of similar to the Peoria River. So it was kind of telling an elite person to go down and bathe in the Peoria River, and that would be rid of his leprosy. It was a challenging assignment for him to do. He did it, and he was healed. That specific assignment would have meant something to Naaman. Again, it made him reckon in his head about what is important. Who is telling me to do this? Why is he telling me to do this? Why don't I want to do it? He had to reckon all these things in his mind. The words "rise up and walk," you know, that was from a healing situation where someone was lame and was healed. There's lots of different things you could tell somebody if you were going to heal them, but he told him to rise up and walk. The boy with loaves and fish and 12 baskets. You guys tell me about that. What makes that, the mention of the loaves and fishes, how could you see that as being a homework assignment? Can you think? Say that? Yeah. Yeah. It would extend your faith. What else? Yeah, because it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. It was an exercise of faith because obeying it really didn't make sense. It didn't seem to fit the circumstance, but Jesus knew that the miraculous event and the eyewitness account of that miraculous event would stay with the observers for the rest of their lives. So that homework, that you could say, was a homework assignment. He gave them some things to follow that was going to stretch them, that they were going to have to do, even though it didn't make sense to them, and they were going to be pleasantly surprised by the outcome, and it would cause them to have greater faith. The last one, King Saul was fighting against Syria, I think, and King Agag was to kill everything, including the king, but he spared the king's life. That was an assignment, a direct command that God gave him, and it's actually what caused God to turn or to withdraw his favor from Saul, because Saul did not obey that, and actually was it Samuel that went ahead and had to follow through on that command, and he did it in front of King Saul. So the Bible does give precedence to using things to teach, things like object lessons, commands, things that seem to be irrelevant, but the person that is asking it to be done knows that a lesson is going to be learned by the person asked to do it. So what's some of the benefits of the homework? The benefit of the homework is to extend your influence outside of the counseling room. So when you counsel someone, you know, it's kind of rare to counsel someone more than a frequency of once a week. Sometimes we do that, but typical frequency is once a week, maybe once every other week. So if you think about how long those sessions last, they last for about an hour, maybe longer, but not much of an intersection, not much a time for the individual to really stay engaged with God's Word. Because it's easy. I mean, you remember school. It's easy, like right now I'm talking, everybody's listening. It's easy, but when you walk out of here, you're going to be going to dinner, you've got engagements that you have responsibilities, you forget everything after you walk out of the room. Well, a homework assignment keeps the individual engaged and it gains involvement into their lives. It also gives hope or inspiration. So I don't know what your learning experience has been, but when I went through college, I was pretty accustomed to being in class, taking notes furiously, understanding every word that the professor said, but not understanding anything that he meant. Okay? So a lot of times you take in the academic knowledge, but you really haven't assimilated it. You haven't made it yours. You haven't really understood it the way your mind needs to process things. So you have the words, you have the notes, but when you take that home and you start reading God's Word, you should have an expectation that something supernatural would take place. You're not giving them a calculus book to read or a history book to read. You're giving them the Word of God. So you should have the expectation that the supernatural would happen. And if they are engaging God's word at home as a result of the homework that's given to them, you would expect the Holy Spirit to intervene as well and to help them understand the things that you told them in the conference room. So things that they heard academically from you, but they go home, they do the homework, they're quiet time by themselves, just them and the Holy Spirit, and they start understanding it. So it can give someone hope because of that supernatural intervention by the Holy Spirit. It also gives them hope because they probably do not have a routine of reading God's word on their own. But you've given them an assignment. You've given them something that they need to do. And they have hope because it's something that they've been able to do a little bit every night. And it makes them feel good that, hey, this is something that I can do. The word of God is relevant. And I can read it. I thought it was going to be boring, but for some reason I'm understanding it as I'm reading it, and it gives them hope. It also gathers information because not just information for the counselee, but the counselor, because what they're going to do is they're going to go home, they're going to do that homework assignment, and we'll talk about the different types of homework assignments in a minute, but they're going to come back in the next week or the next time they meet with you, and they're going to share with you what they learned, what they read, what they experienced, or perhaps just an account of their performance. And it gives you the opportunity as the counselor to listen to that and gather data. Are they struggling with understanding and then applying? Are they understanding and applying, but maybe not doing it consistently? You know, where are the breakdowns that need to be shored up in future discussions and future homework assignments? So it helps you gather information. It also aids in interpretation. It gives you a greater understanding of the person, their problems, their patterns. For instance, if you give a person an assignment of watching a video and answering some questions, and they come back every time, having watched it three or four times, having a bunch of written answers, but then you give them a reading assignment, and they never complete it, and they always come back with an excuse, you start to understand, okay, this is a person that really struggles with reading, but there's other venues that you can explore that they're very successful at completing. So it helps you to understand the person. It also, if the homework assignment is more of a history log, you know, keeping track of the things, the events in their lives, the conversations in their lives, the upsets in their lives, by them bringing that in and sharing it with you, you gain an understanding of what is happening behind closed doors, what is happening, in the privacy of their home that perhaps you would never have a vantage point of were it not for the homework. And the last one, like I said, it extends your instructions throughout the week. Rather than being just one session across the table, it extends your instruction throughout the week because you've given them more work than, you know, just like 10 minutes of work, but you've given them enough work that they have to do it throughout the week. It also positions the counselor in the lead. So what do I mean by that? Well, in any conversation, there's always somebody that leads the conversation, right? And the same is true, even greater, in a counseling situation. The counselee, if he is always giving you data and you're never giving him instruction, that's a very one-sided conversation. it's not going to do much good if he's always giving you data and you're never giving instruction. So homework positions the counselor in the lead in the sense of you're determining the direction of the counseling, not the counselee's input of data to you. So you control the direction of the counseling with your homework. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions about that one?
I guess one thing that comes to my head as you're talking about that is, you know, how much of the time do you come into your session having the homework in mind that you're going to ask them to do versus you're coming up with it on the spur of the moment?
Yeah. It's both and, because, for instance, like the first session with someone, you really got no idea. I mean, you might have their sheet that they fill out, their application beforehand, so you'll have some things in there. But very rarely do I read that and have something that hits the mark, because always after the conversation, I'm going, okay, this is a little bit different than what I had concluded by just reading what's on the paper. So you kind of have to morph. You have to change on the spot and come up with better homework. But it's always good to be prepared, to have something. So on the first session, sometimes you go in and just read the sheet. You know some general things that would be good, kind of foundational things. You know, for instance, a lot of times I'll have something ready that goes over the gospel. That's always good, right? Whether someone is saved or if they are a young believer, weak believer. So you might have something always ready to go over the gospel. Yeah, there's always some initial ones that you can just kind of have, kind of like Cheerios for breakfast, you know. You always have them. I remember. So, you know.
I'll bow out of any future.
there's some history here over breakfast cereals. But no, seriously, like you always have some kind of staple breakfast cereal in the cupboard, right? Well, you're going to have those homework assignments in prepared in your notes as well that are going to apply to everyone. You just may trumpet with something that's more appropriate when you gain more data, more information. Yeah?
How far, though, do you stick to your agenda? I mean, if the person does the homework and comes in with more pressing questions,
okay, so your words there, rabbit trail, of course you would never want to go down a rabbit trail. But certainly there are times where you go down a certain path and you think you've got this all specked out. You've got this person down to a T. You know what their problem is. They do a couple homework assignments and you're going, wow, I was totally wrong about this. They totally do have an understanding of sanctification, and I thought they had no clue, but they totally get that. But they revealed something else, and you make a discerning decision to change courses, and you may do that very rapidly. You may do that a couple times, but what you don't want to occur is for you to constantly take the counselee's data and constantly go down those rabbit trails, because you can. They'll be a problem over here that you'll want to jump on, and then another homework assignment they might talk about this problem over here, and then the next time it's this. The bigger issue is there a connected thread on all those things so that you can stay the course on one thing and it apply to all those. You may not even talk about all these other things. You may just stick to this one very foundational path and give them good, solid homework that they may not even connect the dots with at first. You know, if you remember the Karate Kid, the wax on, wax off, you know, it may be one of those issues where you let the dots connect themselves later on and stick with the course that you are confident in. Good questions. So, and really this third one is kind of indicative of that, because sometimes you'll find that you can implement what you know should be the agenda even with the counselee is pulling for something else, because you can give him the you can give him homework and kind of force his mind to go down one path rather than jump all over the place. You force his mind down one path and keep him focused on fundamentals. It also, in the same vein, it creates and maintains momentum. If you jump all over the place, there's never that sense of accomplishment. There's never that sense of learning or cohesiveness. It seems very random and haphazard, like lots of little snippets, and your counselee never gets the correct view of dependency on Scripture, because you've taken him all over the place and he doesn't see the cohesiveness of it all. But by giving him a specific homework agenda, you are creating that momentum for him, and it maintains his momentum. He can understand where he's going, he understands why you're giving him the homework that you're giving him, and he's more apt to complete it because he sees its relevancy. It also shortens the counseling time frame, because you know, there's a lot of hours in between the hour that you spend with them. So you can give them reading assignments, you can give them assignments of listening to sermons, video sermons, audio sermons, and the counselee can go through hours and hours of good, solid Bible teaching without you being present. So it shortens the time frame of the counseling window. It also helps the individual hide God's word in his heart. If you're constantly, a lot of times, you know, if you spend an hour with someone over the counseling table, you are sharing God's word, but a lot of times you are talking and applying, and the actual words spoken that are actually scriptural text is small. So if you allow him to dive into the word during the week and give him specific assignments that are in God's word, he's more apt to have God's word in his mind and in his heart. So it's going to be more fresh inside of him. He's going to be more apt to remember it. It also reveals the need for future agenda topics. And that's what I was talking about. You're going to have to be able to pivot, because you're going to get a homework assignment, you're going to go through it, it's going to reveal something, and you're going to have to pivot. Maybe a little bit, maybe a lot. Sometimes a person will even come in and talk about this problem over here, and you work with them a couple weeks and you realize this isn't the problem at all. The problem is something much greater that the person doesn't even realize. So homework reveals the need for future agenda topics. So good homework also communicates that you are with them. You know, part of counseling is coming alongside somebody. They should have the sense that you are so close to them in thought that it doesn't take a lot of energy for you to communicate to them. It may not start that way, but later on in the course of counseling, it should start to develop. And that's one of the reasons there, for that picture, of the two cars, because, you know, in NASCAR, sometimes team members will race really close to one another, and so close that, you know, sometimes they can even tap one another, and they know the other one is there. They know the proximity of the other person. That can be done maliciously too. But, you know, the image is, you are so close, moving so quickly together, you're so lock, stock, and barrel in thought, that it takes very little effort for either one of you to know where the other one is at. So a little bit of instruction quickly is responded to and reacted to. It also communicates confidence in the gospel for life change and builds trust. This gets back to the supernatural characteristics of God's Word. Sometimes you can give homework, like in another topic, something outside of counseling. When you're teaching somebody, you give them homework, and their ability to assimilate the data or its relevancy to their lives is all dependent upon that person. And if, you know, you give somebody a math homework and they have no math skills whatsoever, you're really not going to have the confidence that they're going to come back with anything completed with that assignment. But when you give an assignment to somebody with the Word of God, something that's spiritual, that you should have the expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to intervene there, or could intervene, you are giving someone something saying, I totally trust that God is going to work things out in your life, and that if you seek Him, He is already seeking you, and He is going to work things in your life for your good and His glory. And this homework assignment, you're going to start understanding it, and it's going to make sense to you. And God is going to intervene, and if you try to devour His Word, He is going to reward that. You also want to check on completed homework. It also shows that you're tracking with them. It shows, just like in the picture, that, you know, you're going to bump them every now and then to say, hey, you're not going quite fast enough. Or, hey, you know, let's change course a little bit. Let's ride a little bit higher. Let's ride a little bit lower. You're going to be tracking with them. And just those little taps every now and then, those little modifications, those little suggestions, they're going to realize that you're right alongside them, and they're going to respect you more, and they're going to have more of a respect for what you are trying to engage them with, which is God's truth. Now, in the vein of giving a person hope and inspiration, there's a few facets to that. The first one is it establishes new life patterns or new thoughts or new habits. So the homework that you may give them should give them a different perspective on life, maybe a different worldview. Maybe you're going to be correcting the ways in which they communicate. Maybe you're going to be correcting or pointing out different thought patterns in their life that they've never slowed down enough to really connect the dots in their own thought patterns to even acknowledge that something is sin or needs to stop or needs to be replaced, needs to be radically amputated in their life. So the homework can establish that. New life patterns, new thoughts, new habits. If they're not accustomed to reading God's Word, and you give them a homework assignment of reading a chapter every night, or memorizing a Bible verse and writing it out 5 times every night, those are probably going to be new habits that they haven't established before. And sometimes a counselee's life is very much haphazard and in chaos. You'll find that someone is very busy, spends a lot of time reacting to circumstances and not a whole lot of time planning, but you give them something, you need to do this every night at 7 o'clock. You don't need to do that for everybody, but you may have someone that says you need to do this every night at 7 o'clock. It gives them a narrow focus amidst a lot of chaos in their life. Just seeing that they can do something like that would give them hope. It also prioritizes things. A lot of times with a new believer, they want to do everything, and you as the counselor might want to slow things down, but not slow things down in progression, but slow the randomness of their direction and give them a single focus and a prioritized list of things that they need to focus on. So, and it also communicates to them that there is potential for change, no matter how bleak the situation seems to be, that change is always possible. And you can help them track that change, track that record of what they are doing, so that they can see they are changing. They might not be able, in the chaos of their life, they might not be able to feel change. They may not feel like they've changed, but you might help them track their homework to say, look, when you came in, this is what your habits were. Now, 8-10 weeks later, you've read the book of, you know, you've read Romans front to back, and you've done this, and it gives evidence of God's power and working in their life. And sometimes there are things that are just observable with homework. For instance, the way they listen when you give the homework. You know, do they write the homework down? Do they give body language of acceptance? Or do they give you the body language of, yeah, that's not going to happen, but thanks for giving it to me anyway. Maybe the way they take notes. Now, these are not always true. I've never been a big note taker, but you can learn a lot by watching people on how they take notes. Their completed homework or their incompleted homework, you can look, and it shows their level of interest, their level of commitment, their theological understanding. You're going to have to read and discern, what do they understand about sin? What do they understand about repentance? What do they understand about forgiveness? What about sanctification? What about the role of suffering in life? In a believer's life, you get a theological understanding and you see where they need to be corrected in that thought. You can start to see heart changes occur, and you can start encouraging them when you see those heart changes take place. You can learn things about their Bible study habits. You know, here's something that I've done more frequently now, but that is on Bible study. I have recommended to people more of listening to audio of the Bible. So, you know, online you can get any translation of the Bible anymore online, and most of the places have audio files that go with that, so that instead of reading the text on the screen, you can just click a button and it will read it to you. So that's very beneficial to the person who doesn't have very good reading skills, or if they're like me, doesn't like to read, it's a very good thing. So you can understand, you can help or better understand what the counselee's understanding is of the gospel. You may be dealing with a believer that has been a believer for many years, but doesn't have a really good, strong understanding of the gospel. You know, they would be able to articulate to you enough to know that they had made a decision to follow Christ as their Savior, but maybe they couldn't articulate it to anybody else, and perhaps they don't understand. I think everybody's understanding of the gospel grows, right? So it's always good to try to grow somebody's understanding of the gospel. How do they handle the Bible? A lot of times you'll see people treat spiritual things as if it's mystic. Kind of like a Ouija board or something, that they would rather listen to something on the radio or just open up their Bible and kind of put a finger down on the page to read instead of really trying to understand God's Word, but instead they would prefer to rely on something mystic and random instead of really being comfortable with handling the Bible and literally getting in there and reading every page and devouring all of it. It also helps you understand their lifestyles, their patterns, things about their family. You know, do they have a lot of communication with their family? Do they eat dinner with their family? Does everyone kind of go off and do their own thing separately? What's their relationship with their spouse, even when it's not marital counseling, but still their relationship with their spouse is could provide you information for other things that are going on in their lives. And it could reveal specific circumstances in their lives. Not general themes, but really specific things. Things that are going on at work. Things that are going on in a relationship with one of their children. Just lots of specific things that you might pick up from homework. It's kind of like looking at a puzzle. You know, when you work a puzzle, you know, I was in the nursery a couple of weeks ago, and we were working a puzzle with a little kid, and you know, there weren't a lot of pieces, but I found it was challenging to get this little puzzle together. And you know, it do the same thing that you learned as a kid. You know, you put the corners up there, and then you look for colors, and then you look for lines that are intersecting, you look for textures, you put all these things together. It's a lot like that with homework. You're making a puzzle, you have a person that you don't understand, you don't know what makes them tick, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and they're bringing their homework to you, they're talking to you, and you are building this picture in front of them. Some of the pieces you're going to find are damaged, and you're going to want to work something else out in that place. You're going to want to put off sin and put on righteousness. There's going to be some puzzle pieces that you identify, and you go, I see where it belonged, or I see where it was in your life, but we need to work on this piece and kind of take it out and bring something from Scripture and put back in its place. So doing so kind of helps you see things through their eyes. Because as a counselor, I guarantee you haven't seen everything. There's always something new, and there's always a perspective that you've never really experienced. So you start seeing things through their eyes as you start putting their puzzle together. It's very specific to them. It gives context to the things that they're telling you. A lot of these we've already talked about. Those last two there, building self-discipline. This is a verse we used a lot when we were raising kids. We used to tell them, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. I mean, we quoted this verse to our kids when they were really little, and they were just like, what? And, you know, we spent their whole growing up years explaining to them what that meant, that, you know, when you have a lack of self-control, you're very vulnerable. You're like a city whose walls, which are meant to protect, you've let them get broken down, and you're very vulnerable to attack when you're like that. So homework is kind of like a process of looking at your walls around your city and saying, okay, you've got a hole here. This is the brick that belongs in that hole. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you move that brick into place. And even as you develop the relationship, sometimes they don't even understand why that brick is important, but they'll trust you enough to let you describe that brick and help them put that brick into place. And then they start to understand how that is a helpful process in their life and makes them more protected against the attacks of the evil one. So some more repetitiveness here. It develops a new habit of thinking and acting, develops a renewed mind, a personal habit of collecting relevant biblical solutions to life's problems. They're probably not accustomed to that. You could look at an analogy like nutrition. If you don't have the habit of eating healthy, you're not going to associate kind of cause and effect. Lack of nutrition means I'm not able to physically perform. But as you lead this person through homework data, it's kind of like helping a person eat the right things and then pointing out, this is the effect, because you've been eating this way, this is the effect of that. And they start to develop the habit themselves of collecting relevant data and applying it to their lives. Now, the next one there is an interesting thing. It says it develops a hands-on, permanent resource for review. You know, that's what journaling is for many people. Keeping a journal as you go through something, it helps you to have that permanent record so that if you want to go back to a point in time where you maybe have forgotten, maybe you've stopped doing a biblical habit, maybe you have not been as attentive in God's Word, you can go back to your notes, to your homework, and be reminded of the very things that you forgot. It can also move the counselee to being a self-counselor, because after a while, you know, if you're trying to teach someone to run or to bike, you know, I remember in college someone taught me a lot of the finer details about biking, and I couldn't believe how much easier it was after he kind of showed me these fine details of how to bike. I mean, everybody rides a bicycle, right? But this guy taught me these fine details and rode with me and says, no, you don't want to pedal at that speed. You want to pedal at this speed. I know it doesn't feel natural, but you want to pedal at the speed that I'm pedaling at. And then I started doing that, and the next thing I know, I didn't have to ride with this guy anymore because I was doing everything that he had taught me, and I started riding on my own. So, and, you know, I found myself riding with other people saying, hey, you know what? I found that when I did this, it was a lot easier, and I had this guy that taught me this, and you should try that. And then it kind of propagated. And that's the way counseling is. That's the way giving people homework is. They learn that, and they go, wow. You know, this light bulb goes off in their head. What they want to do is share that with someone else. Hey, I never knew this, but somebody showed me, and, you know, I want to share it with you. So So it helps them move to being a self-counselor. It also moves them to be a discipler of others. It also helps them to create this personal ministry manual for discipleship. Again, it's something that the counselee can use later on as they are discipling others. It helps you build kind of a folder, a file folder, where it's kind of hard to assign homework at first. It takes a lot of the counselor's thought and preparations in order to create that homework. But after a while, you kind of get a portfolio, and you've got these 10, 15 things that you find yourself doing a lot, and you find yourself using those over and over. I mean, you're constantly expanding, but you get some things, some homework assignments that you feel really comfortable with. You're very familiar with them, and it's easy for you to do. You don't want to become complacent and say, okay, I've got these, four things. I'm always going to use these four things no matter what. And then you're kind of like force-feeding something that doesn't really fit. But you definitely will develop a portfolio. So homework should follow a biblical pattern. You're not going to be creating a training document that differs a whole lot from what the apostles did in the early church, right? I mean, you should have the expectation that you're going to be leading people in much the same way that people are led from Scripture. So it should be structured to produce that same biblical pattern or lifestyle. Colossians 1, 9 through 11 says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy." So that's what your observations, if your homework is working, if the counselee is truly changing, these are the type of things that you should be observing and you should be doing by praying for your counselee. So the nature, or you might say the must-haves in the homework, is it must be biblical. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do that you could tell a person to do. There's a lot of things you could assign them to practice on discipline and practice on note-taking and a lot of different things, but your homework should be appropriately versed in Scripture. It should be gospel-centered and Christ-exalting. It's not there's a lot of things, a lot of classes I've had to take at work that are supposed to be motivational, inspirational, supposed to make me perform better, understand myself better, set better goals. That's not what this is. It doesn't work at Caterpillar either, but this is not supposed to be like affirmations or something, but it's supposed to be gospel-centered, not man-centered, but gospel-centered and Christ-exalting. So it's not homework to build somebody's self-esteem, but rather it's to be gospel-centered and Christ-exalting. They should think highly of God and highly of Christ and His work in their life. It should also be self-reflective. This is important because you'll have some people that are really good with homework, but that doesn't mean that they're being self-reflective. So they'll just be a really good student. So they can read well, they can write well, they can answer questions well, but your homework should bring them under conviction. It should give them source of question and thought that they need to think through their own lives. They need to ask themselves questions. They need to think about why they think certain ways and feel certain ways. They need to be able to discern whether thoughts and behaviors they have are healthy, unhealthy, sinful, obedient, Christ-honoring, or not, or self-rewarding. It should encourage humility and repentance, and it should facilitate growth and change. You don't want to exasperate the counselee, and that's something that would be easy to do. If you just bombarded somebody who realistically doesn't have very much time, you know, if you take a young first-time mother who is struggling with having a schedule and getting their new child on a schedule and keeping up with everything, all the responsibilities that they have, and you just pile on top of that a bunch of stuff that they have no realistic way of doing, then that would be a disservice to them. You're going to exasperate them. But likewise, there's going to be some people that you're going to really want to pile it on because they have hundreds of activities and they're constantly doing, and they're going to be doing those things regardless. And you want them to slow down, so you need to give them more work because they're the type of people that are going to be filling their time with something, and you might as well be that something that fills their life with activities that are rooted in God's Word. So both ends of the spectrum there. You could easily exasperate somebody by giving them too much, or vice versa. You could just enable somebody to stay the way, kind of locked in their habits by not giving them enough. And I've already talked about, you know, the person that does not like to read, you're probably not going to be the person that causes them to fall in love with literature, you know. So that's not to mean that you give them a pass on God's Word, but you do some creative things to help them engage in God's Word. Which is the next one there. It's personally geared to them, their abilities, their learning styles, what works, what doesn't work. There's lots of different things. Sometimes you may need to explain why you're giving the homework. Other times you're just going to have to say, trust me. You know, it depends on the counselee and how willing they are, how much flexibility they give you, but sometimes you'll need to explain more to an individual because they're hesitant and they question everything and don't really want to do the homework, so you might have to explain more to motivate them to do the homework. And encourage prayer along the way as well. That's another habit that they're probably not accustomed to, but the power of prayer and teaching them how to pray and holding them accountable for prayer. I know that whenever I counsel someone that is married, I always ask if they pray with their spouse, even if it's not marital counseling. I always ask that question and challenge them with that, to encourage them to have that line of communication with their spouse for that accountability of prayer. Because sometimes you can slack off on your own on prayer, but if you get into a daily routine with your spouse or someone else, it stands out more when you don't do it. So they can hold you accountable. You can also help them to keep track of God's faithfulness through prayer by pointing out, hey, we were praying for this, and now that's come to be, or God has provided something that meets that need, and to help them to connect the dots of God's faithfulness. So it's good homework is comprehensive in nature. Comprehensive, I mean, it covers the person, their problems, their patterns of thoughts, their perspectives, their worldview about themselves, about problems, suffering in life, God, what the solution to the problems are. It also helps them determine what their motivation is, what their idols of the heart are. That can be a new term to a counselee. I know many times we've started talking about idolatry and about how the way our mind thinks and what we value in life can be a form of idolatry. Most times when I bring that up, it's a new concept to the person, and we can talk about how motivation or the things that we frequent in life, kind of like a checkbook, when you open up a checkbook, it's not doesn't take very long to see where your priorities are in life, you know? What's the most frequent check that is written in your checkbook? It tells you where your heart is. Well, homework does that as well. It can help a counselee kind of figure out, oh wow, I really value this in my life. I never really thought about how much time I spend on that, or money. So it also needs to be a focused approach, not just busy work, but to have a path or an endpoint defined. Where do you want them to be? Like where? I'm giving you this homework assignment. Next time we come in, we're going to talk about it. And in my mind, I'm going to have kind of a general place where I would like to have them by the next time they come back. So you want to be balanced. Again, you don't want to overwhelm, but also you don't want it to be too little. And it's going to change with each person. It's going to change with each person. Homework should be about 3 to 5 hours per week. Honestly, that's a lot. You know, 3 hours a week's a lot. I have to say, I don't always have that high of expectation for a counselee to do that much homework. But I'm not discouraging you from going down that path. And it's always good to refer back to your homework. Again, that kind of helps the person understand the importance of the homework. You did it for a reason. So, you know, something might come up in your counseling conversation and you go, you remember a couple weeks ago I had you read this? Can you get those notes back out? Let's look at that again. Let's look at that scripture we went over. What are some of the things that you wrote down then? And take them back to that. It helps them see the value of the work that they've done in the past. Bible reading and memorization is a very important part of it. You know, I've even had people memorize things, and I have to admit, I gave an assignment before, and it's like, there's no way they're going to memorize this. But, you know, I'm going to do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. And, you know, they come back the next week and it's like, okay, so let's hear that verse. And they rattle it off and it's like, whoa. And, you know, then you try to act like not surprised, you know, and, I knew you'd do it. But honestly, you know, that's our problem as counselors, not having the expectation that God would work. So everyone can memorize, but everyone's going to do it differently. So don't have the expectation that everyone's going to memorize the way you memorize. So, matter of fact, I've heard people quote scripture back, and it's like, okay, I think that's a new translation, but everything was correct. I mean, the words were not verbatim, but you nailed it all, and that's good, you know? So, everyone can memorize. So, journals and diaries are a good thing. I'm really convicted every time I go through stuff like this because I see all the things that you know I don't typically do. But journals or diaries are good. Some people, it is no effort for them whatsoever to do that, and it's a great tool. I know a lot of people that are like that. I know a lot of people that aren't like that. But there are different ways you can journal. It's a great thing. It's a great way to go back in time and say, what was I thinking back then? How have I changed? What are the tools that I should be doing now? And some of the things that you can journal about helps you to get in touch with some of your emotions and what circumstances those emotions occur in. For example, if you look at those, the last one there, the emotions of anger, fear, worry, envy, and depression. Simply journaling about when those occur helps you to understand, okay, I typically worry about financial matters. All the worries that I've had in the last 3 months are all financial things. Or all things that I've gotten angry about have been with, I thought it was my spouse, but it's basically anyone I'm close to I've been angry with. And then break it down further than that. What were the subjects that I got angry about? And all of a sudden you find common themes, and it's, you know, a common theme of, well, I wanted this, I got this. I wanted this, I got this. It's basically when things don't go my way, I take it out on the person that I'm talking with. So journaling about specific emotions sometimes helps you, like those puzzle pieces. You start to see certain colors over here that fit together, and it paints a picture, and you go, okay, I understand. I understand why I get angry, and I understand now what needs to change in my life. Because I understand it, I know now what to amputate, or I know what I need to change in the way I think, or the way I depend on God, my expectations on people, the way I forgive people, the way I don't forgive people. Lots of things that you can learn about journaling about your emotions. Yeah. That's a good question. So you caught me that I skipped over that one. But no, I think it's an acronym, and if I can remember it, it's specific, measurable, achievable. Are you a Caterpillar person? Okay, because we have SMART goals, so that's what I was trying to remember. I'm not big on acronyms. Oh, come on. Yeah. Are you serious? It is specific, measurable, achievable. Yeah, thanks for that. That's great. It's the situation. It's what's going on in your mind. See, I jumped all the category things. It's a situation. It's what's going on in your mind. The A is your actions. What did you do in response to what was going on? What was the result of what you thought and did? And the last one is trophy. Did you get what you wanted? What trophy did you get? Okay, so it's situation. What did you think about what happened? What was going on in your mind? What were your actions? What did you do in response to what was going on? What was the result of what you thought and did? And did you get the trophy that you wanted? So there's lots of different types of journals. It could involve relationships. with different people in your life. They could be kind of like an upset journal. A good day, bad day. What made the good day? What made the bad day? It could be something in the matter of discipline. I know, you know, a huge thing is the amount of sleep a person gets. No one gets enough sleep, hardly ever gets enough sleep. So just keeping a journal of things like that helps you to be aware where you're negligent and what type of things need to change. You know, it gets back to that verse, a city with broken down walls. That's an easy way to break down your walls that protect you as an individual is not getting enough sleep. Prayer journal. What are the things you're praying for? How is God answering your prayers? How are your prayers changing as your thoughts and your attitudes and what your focus in life has changed? How are your prayers changing? Your offense journal. Offenses that you see against you, as well as things that you've done to other people against God. Here's some examples. Have them take a verse like 1 Corinthians, memorize it, and then write an explanation of it. Write it in their own words. Maybe even write it in context of their own life situations. Read a devotion, and then write an application, an explanation of that devotion. Keep a log of how much time you spend reading scripture, how much time you spend with devotions. Read a specific book. Maybe you assign a specific book. You might even go through the book during counseling. You might not go through the book. You know, if the person is an avid reader, say, hey, we're not going to talk about this, but I see you read lots of books anyway. You can read this book, and when you get done, tell me what you think about it. I haven't read it yet. You know, help me out by reading this book and tell me what it was like, if you liked it, if you didn't like it, what were some important things from it. Yeah, something that's smaller and not such a big commitment to read. Yeah. Good. DVDs and CDs, audio tapes, do you agree with the speaker? So here's one. Sometimes you need to get really specific in telling the person what to do. Like, do a loving act this week, and here is a list of loving acts. You may have to get that specific sometimes to get the ball rolling for somebody who doesn't have a lot of history doing such things. Going to church, that's something that is pretty common too. When you counsel someone, you look at their church attendance, and their church attendance is maybe once a month. You know, you have to think, well, why am I meeting with you once a week and you're not taking advantage of the best resource in the world, and that's, you know, listening to Pastor Daniel once a week as well? So challenging them with church attendance, with small group. Small group is a lot more effective with developing relationships on a broader segment. Getting other people to share in the discipleship so that there's not like a huge one-on-one dependency, and that person is also going to be learning from other people as well. You want to have a multitude of touch points with the counselee. So you also may have them exchange an activity. You may look at their activity list and say, wow, you do a lot in this area. Would it be possible for you to give up one of these things just so that you could attend a care group on a Sunday afternoon? Or could you give up one of these activities so that you aren't out late Saturday night, so that you do feel refreshed and wanting to go to church on Sunday morning? There's a lot of good homework. I'm not familiar with these, all of these on this list, but there's some good resources of homework. If you just ask some others, the handouts that we can give. I don't know if it's mentioned in here or not. We have a book. We have two books, actually, from Wayne Mack. That's just a homework book, and it's you can photocopy the page, and great homework for lots of different topics, lots of different age groups, things that are. Yeah, Wayne Mack is really heavy on scripture, so it's a great way to keep your counselee engaged with God's Word. A lot of the work has been done for you, so there's resources out there, but you can write that name down, Wayne Mack. He's got some great homework manuals. Planning is another thing that is a common item that is left undone. Things like financial budgeting, time budget. A lot of times you might even bring someone else into counseling that might be better equipped for financial planning, things like that. You might even have to, the last one there on that page is conference table. You might have to help the individual plan in communication. Communication is, might be compared to swimming. I don't know if that's a valid analogy or not. But communication, a lot of times you have to kind of drag someone through the water, and you have to teach it lots of different ways. So conference table is a way of talking things through, giving assignments, talk about this, talk about it for this many minutes, take these notes, have these rules about your communication, and come back and discuss how the communication went. I'm going to skip ahead here. We've already talked about doing things on the fly. Sometimes you have a person that has difficulties not gossiping, so you might give them these things to think about in their head so that when they're in the midst, they can stop themselves, or you can stop them by simply saying, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but before you go on, I'm concerned that what you're telling me is something that you shouldn't be telling me. So there's some tips or techniques that you can give people that will prevent them from gossiping, or you can practice these things with your counselee to prevent them from gossiping to you. Here's some good authors when it comes to homework or reading assignments. These are some of the authors that we would suggest. You have those in your notes. There's lots of resources. You know, I'm not going to be able to sit a big book down here and say, here's all the homework. Don't do anything outside of this because this is everything. It's not like that. It's very customizable. Yes, general themes are going to be pretty common, but very customizable. So develop your own homework, and you can go to some of these websites. Brad Bigney, I use a lot. That website, he's got so many resources out there. It's just incredible because he has sermons, he has audios, and then he has notes, he has diagrams, handouts, you name it, it's on there. I've used that an awful lot. And I will stop there at the case study. Any questions? In counseling, that's one of the things that I dislike the most. just because nobody likes to be the person that makes assignments. You know, it's typical, nobody likes to do homework. And likewise, the teachers don't like to assign it because they don't like to get that body language of, yeah, I know it's hard, but it's very important to do and to help a person to have an attitude of change. All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for not allowing this to just be an academic thing, that it is a supernatural, it's a supernatural event, the way a person changes, that it's not academic by reading and doing, but it's something that we cooperate with, and we cooperate with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit changes us and gives us different thoughts, different motivation, convicts us of our sin. Help us to be wise stewards of our time, of our counselee's time. Help us to be able to be discerning and to see patterns of thought, to see behaviors, to see scripture, and to be able to connect the two, and to be able to teach, to be able to disciple, to be able to explain your word with clarity. Help us to engage the student with your words more than our words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.